happy holidays, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your host and game master. In the last 2 weeks of the year, we decided to put together a fun holiday special for you. My wife, Mel D'Amato, reached out to animator and game designer Levon Jahanian to create a hack of one of our favorite games this year, Fuck It's Dracula. I'm happy to have One Shot present Hark It's Santa, a game co-designed by Mel D'Amato, Levon Jahanian, and named by Chris Sims. If the spirit of the season moves you to play, you can download Hark It Santa right from the OneShot website. And if you really enjoy what you've played, you can thank Levon by backing him on Patreon, or thank Mel by backing us on Patreon. Speaking of, the 2018 Patreon drive for OneShot is going incredible. Last week we managed to hit $8,000 a month, which means later today you'll be getting the final episode of Bin Bon and Jubna 2. We're looking ahead to our 8250 milestone, where we'll be releasing the Bin Bon and Jubna 2 series completely to the public. If you enjoy what we do here at One Shot and you want to help folks who can't afford to join the Patreon to enjoy what we do alongside you, consider signing up to become a patron. At 8250, we'll release our Bin Bon and Jubna bonus content to everyone. And at $8,500 a month, we will restore campaign to a weekly schedule again. A huge thanks to everyone who's contributed to our Patreon so far, and everyone else who's going to be joining up during this drive. With all that out of the way, I'll see you in the mid-roll, heroes. All right, heroes, let's meet our party for this week. And first up to join us on this joyous holiday season is Steve Discount. Steve!
Hi!
Hey, bud, how are you?
I'm doing okay on this joyous occasion.
Steve, I wanted to ask you, since we're all so excited about this particular holiday season, what is your favorite holiday memory?
Are we just using the winter holidays or
no,
all holidays?
No, I think any holiday is applicable here.
So even like May Day or Arbor Day.
If you had
flag
a good
day.
May Day, day, if your family was like going all in on May Day, which would be very surprising to me, I think you could share a May Day memory.
Well, thankfully we haven't, so I get to avoid that bit. I don't know. I think one of the most positive holiday memories, I mean, I guess I'll try and stick to this season. You know, just the other weekend, you know, Hanukkah just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also aligned at the same time with my half-sister's bat mitzvah.
Ooh.
So she, as part of her growing up into being an adult in the community, totally did a Hanukkah lighting incorporated with her own bat mitzvah thing and totally, like, included my husband as part of the family.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which is really sweet. Yeah.
That's really, really sweet. And I have to ask now, because like we've got that kind of warm holiday glow about us, do you have any plugs that you'd like to hit us with real quick?
Sure, absolutely. So I have recently started a show on the wonderful One Shot Podcast Network.
Ooh.
If you've heard of it.
If you're in the know, myself and my colleague Porter Green, we have started a show called Session Zero. You can find us on Twitter at Session Zero Pod, where we explore role-playing through the lens of psychology.
That sounds fascinating. But are any of you licensed psychologists? PhD candidates?
One out of two of us on the first one and one out of two on the second one, because Porter finished the PhD. I'm in the process.
All right. So it sounds like we have qualified people talking and not just people who like both subjects.
Why would you hurt me like that?
That's great. Well, let's move on to our next guest, and that's Shanna. Shanna.
Hello.
Welcome to One Shot.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here. For those that don't know, Shanna was one of my faithful companions, one of the least difficult companions that I worked with when I made my way through the Tomb of Annihilation.
Well, thank you for saying that.
It's a shame that you didn't make it through with me. It would have been great.
It would have been.
But if you want to see more of Shanna, be sure to check out our YouTube page for those Tomb of Annihilation streams. Shanna, I have to ask you, what is your warmest holiday memory?
Well, my warmest holiday memory was probably a pretty chilly one ultimately.
I like this.
Yeah, this so I celebrate some of the more pagan holidays throughout the year. So this past year for Mabon, which is the autumnal equinox, for anyone who needs to know, me and my partner and our good friend all went to the beach of Lake Michigan and had a nice meal, and it was very, very cold. And then by the end of the meal and some drinks, a lot of drinks, we went running into Lake Michigan with all of our clothes on.
No, thank you. Hard pass.
It was pretty great and pretty dumb, but also extremely liberating and very fun.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're enjoying yourselves. At the end of the day,
it's the most pagan thing I've ever done.
People are happy, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
That is all that matters. Hey, just a quick PSA, stay out of cold, cold water, especially if you got clothes on. You could die. You could die, and I would not like people to die. Do you have any plugs that you would like to hit us with, Jenna?
I don't have anything at the moment, but I do have a project on the horizon.
Ooh.
So stay tuned.
Where will people watch for announcements?
It will
be
a podcast.
Oh.
So stay tuned to, I will share that information.
Do you have Twitter?
I do have a Twitter that I don't use. So,
well, maybe you can announce just this.
Yes.
On that Twitter.
Yes, it will be just this.
Okay, where can people find that Twitter?
I don't even remember my Twitter handle.
Shanna!
Doing such a bad job.
Well,
but one day.
Everyone hire a private detective. Say, I want to follow Shanna for information about an upcoming project. And for just the price of $100 a day, you will find out that we'll probably retweet the podcast.
Yeah, I will tweet it at the One Shot Podcast Network, and then you'll all know, and it'll be great.
Good, good. And because the holiday season is all about welcoming people in, we have a new voice who's actually never done any one-shot projects with us before. Jules, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Jules, I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so happy that you decided to join us for this.
Thank you.
Jules was recommended to me as a performer by the Johnny O'Mara.
Yes.
The only person I've ever played a role-playing game with for 4 years who didn't learn the game.
That sounds like Johnny.
Yeah. Jules, it is Johnny. It is Johnny.
I have to be nice, though. He's my boss. Or work daddy, as he makes me call him.
That sounds like an HR minefield.
Hi, I'm an HR consultant. What?
Daddy.
Jules, if you're not daddy. Okay, blink twice.
I can't blink.
Jules, what is your warmest holiday memory?
Okay, so me and my family, this is an old tradition, mm-hmm. but we would go to that giant Macy's downtown.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we would always go have dinner under the big Christmas tree they would put up, even when it was Marshall Fields. It's Macy's now.
Oh, the Walnut Room.
Yeah, the Walnut Room. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, the Walnut Room. It was always a good tradition. We'd walk around the mall.
You always check out those window displays.
Yeah, the windows. Yeah, it's always great. There used to be a mascot there, a little elf,
mm-hmm.
That I was horrified of. That was the only part of it I didn't like. It had this, detachable beard. It was it was a mascot with a robotic head, and the beard would move, and it would, slap you in the face with its beard. And it was the scariest thing I've ever encountered.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
And I'm still terrified of mascots. But everything else about the Walnut Room was great.
Okay.
Is this your warmest memory? Is that
Yeah. There's always a little bit of horror, even in the warmest parts of the season.
I mean, you tell you're happy without a little bit of terror.
I was going to say, there's warmth that comes in recovering from trauma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You would know.
Yeah.
Let's really dive into my trauma.
Jules, while we talk about these traumas, do you have any plugs that you want to hit the audience with?
You can follow me on Instagram at it's Jules. You can see lots of selfies and pictures of my nails and some of
And they are very good. Let me assure the audience.
They're very long and a little chipped, but I work hard.
And Jules, I got to say, your makeup today is also kicking ass.
I got all dressed up for the radio.
Yes.
Thank you. I also have some illustrations up there, so you can follow me there or walk the streets of Chicago and chant my name and I might appear.
And
who knows?
Do you have any theater things coming up real soon? Because we talked about that earlier.
I don't. I'm just out of a show and now I'm taking a break. I have like another show coming up in the spring. So
casting directors, yeah, keep an eye out.
I'm wide open.
Agents, casting directors, anyone who might be listening. Now is the time to buy stock in Jules.
Please do.
Great. So the last person that I have to introduce is the person who's actually going to be running this game for us, and that is Borat Voice, my wife, Mel D'Amato.
Oh, hello. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, hon. What is your warmest holiday memory? And again, does not have to be a winter holiday.
Arbor Day.
Arbor Day.
It's
gosh.
When I burned a tree.
If anyone follows me on Twitter, you'll know that I kind of hate the holiday season. So oddly enough, I'm running a holiday game. However, you know, as much as I've loved spending the last few years and the holidays with you and your family, mm-hmm. I think my fondest quote unquote holiday memory was when you and I took a trip down to Ottawa to see the fireworks for the 4th of July.
Oh, oh, yeah, that was really great. I mean, yeah, sure, there was a holiday where somebody proposed to you, but also the
4th
of July
too.
Trip that we did was also very good.
Shots fired.
Wow. Mm. Isn't it great to be married, guys?
So we know whose character dies first.
Yeah, you just tried to pull a burn on the DM, so...
Yeah, this is... Well, is it the DM now? Because it is in the game that this game is based on. It is called the DM because you are the Dracula Master.
Oh, but in this one, I'm the SM. So I'm the Santa Master.
Yes,
do you want
Daddy.
To explain this game to us? Santa is a top, as we all know.
Yeah, but first... Well, I assume we've already heard your fondest holiday memory, but what do you have anything else you want to say?
Oh. Oh, wow. Wow. Fondest holiday memory. Yeah, I actually, hun, I'm sorry, this one doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with my little sister, Faithy.
Aww.
I got her a first edition of one of her favorite books for Christmas, and she was so happy with it, she yelled at me with tears in her eyes because she was mad that she didn't get me a better gift that year. So that is one of my fondest holiday memories. Faith, you have been owned.
I was going to say, that sounds so on brand, having met Faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely is. So, darling, mm-hmm. you can take us away.
Ooh,
spin us a rich fiction.
So, this game we're playing today is called Hark, It's Santa. This is a game hack that I wrote based on Fuck, It's Dracula by Levon Jahanian. Thanks, Levon. I adore Levon for helping me with this because when I started writing the hack, I sent him a message and said, hey, would you hate me if I wrote this and also ran it on One Shot? And he was just like, no, that sounds amazing. So thanks so much for like giving me input and looking at this silly shenanigan I've written and also designing it. He did all this pretty shit on this paper right here. He did all this. Also, for everyone listening, we're going to attach a link to a copy of this so that y'all can play Hark, It's Santa. And please send Levon a tweet or a message or something saying, hey, what a good job.
Or some
this is
money.
Beautiful. Or money. Yeah. Please pay him.
Patreon, coffee.
Yeah. I think he's got a Patreon. So
I tried to offer payment for design services and consultation, but he refused me. So he can't refuse all of you.
Yeah, exactly. He can't refuse you or the hordes of Christmas ghosts that will descend upon him. So, yeah, thank you so much, Levon. Shall we get started?
Is that how Christmas works? There's ghosts?
Oh, Yes.
Multiple. Oh, yes.
There are a lot of Christmas ghosts.
So many Christmas ghosts.
There's the Holy Ghost for sure, but also there's the ghost of your dead business partner. There's the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future.
At least.
Christmas is a very haunted time of year.
Mm.
It's when we celebrate the birth of a lich.
Is that why everyone dreads going home for the holidays?
One of many reasons, I'm sure.
A lich that feeds on your happy memories and your fear. Okay, so here we are. You are simple villagers on the desert planet called Blitzen. It is 3400 AD, and humans live throughout the galaxy. You are a group of people who live on this planet. It is hot, dry, and there's no...
Well, it's just a desert, right?
Yeah.
So it can be any kind of desert.
That's true.
So it could be like an Antarctica-style snow desert?
If you wanted it to be, but that's not the story I'm telling.
Okay.
What was
the shots fired.
What was the hubris of man that brought us to this horrible planet?
We have to find that out as a group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's roll for our characters first, and then.
So first, you know, we've got five fields on here. We've got name, we've got items, we've got what is your favorite holiday memory as your character, and then we've got four stats. Your stats are assail, comprehend, mirth, and survive. You're going to roll 1d6 for each of those stats. You can roll four of them and then decide where you want to place all of those things. If you need an explanation of any of those stats, let me know.
Assail looks very close to wassail. Is that similar?
It is not.
Can we add a wassail stat?
If you really want to, yes, yes,
damn,
please. You can write it underneath everything.
Oh, boy.
My stats are deliciously average.
I have very little mirth.
So what does the assail mean?
Assail is like attack.
Ah.
An assailant. Get it?
I'm totally adding a wassail stat.
Good.
You attack people with your excitement?
So as we're deciding where to put these numbers, Mel, do you want to explain the benefit of putting a higher or a lower number in any specific spot?
Yeah. So when you're going to be trying something challenging, you're going to roll 1d6 against the appropriate stat. If you roll equal to or lower than your stat, you succeed. If the roll is higher, the Santa Master writes something on your character sheet. So technically speaking, it's not always a bad thing when you miss your rolls. So you could learn something valuable. Once you've all got your stats filled in, I'm going to have all of you roll one at a time to find out what item you're going to be traveling with. Steve, roll 1d6 and let's find out what item you're going to travel with.
All right.
5. You are going to be traveling with a box of matches.
Hey.
That seems very useful.
Shanna. Also a box of matches.
It's because I liked it so much.
A couple of matchbox twins.
All right. Jules.
One.
Oh, you've got a golden birch switch. Are you familiar with what that is?
Oh, I know what a switch is.
Okay.
I've been punished before.
Okay. For any listeners.
Very dark.
For any listeners who aren't familiar with what a switch is, other than like a light switch, a golden birch switch is a part of a tree that someone might remove to hit someone with. So it's like an item you can do an attack with. Old stories, people use them to do things like beat people and spank people.
A lot of discipline.
Yes.
Yes, Daddy.
I mean, we know Jules has a history with
this. Yes, Office Daddy.
Ooh.
Johnny makes me go get a switch whenever I do bad at work.
Oh, my God. James.
It sounds like an HR nightmare.
Yeah.
I rolled a 2.
Okay, so you're going to be traveling with a smoking pipe.
A smoking pipe, yes.
So you've got your, like a corn cob pipe.
Oh, I will be defining what smoking pipe means to me. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Very well. All right, do we have names?
Yes, I have named my character Grunther.
Grunther.
Which is a normal human name in this future.
Please write
Actually, I'm going to put some umlauts over that U. It's now Grunther.
Can you write that phonetically on there and put a little name tent in front of you?
Yes. There are some Sharpies behind you, hun. Could you grab those?
Yes. And then once we know the names, let's figure out what they are doing on this planet. And then once you know more about your character, I'll want to know what their fondest holiday memory is.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even done anything, and Steve is just...
I just thought of the horrible situation of all of us have names in an Unther.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Hey, now you know what it was like with you guys.
What?
So I think I'm...
What are you thinking, Steve?
I think I'm going to be your sibling, Unther.
Yes.
So we've got Gunther, we've got...
Grunther.
Grunther and Unther.
How dare you?
Oh, is this is a thing. We're doing this thing.
We don't have to. You can do what you want.
I was doing something Christmassy.
That's good, too.
No. You should go with your gut. Yeah. Go with your gut.
I don't think I spelled this word right.
It's fine. That's how it's spelled in the future.
That's true.
What's your name, Jules?
I am thinking, because I have this golden switch, I have pretty high comprehend, I'm going to be a school marm. Named Ms. Annis.
Ooh.
That's a drag name.
Yes, it is. She might moonlight.
Do you have a name, Shannon?
Yes. So I think we have to keep the Unthers to Grunther and Munther because they're Grunther and Munther. Whoa!
Are you brothers?
Deep cut.
Oh, I think we totally are brothers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Who's older?
Do you argue about
I'm not
that?
Sure.
I think I saw you have higher comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be the older, dumber brother.
Cool.
Great.
So my character is Hollyhock.
All right. Great.
She just survives. Whatever the case may be.
All right. Brother. Ooh, the cream.
If you call me Holly, I'm going to kill you.
Oh. Is it so I should really. Say the full
Hawk?
Hollyhock?
Yeah,
Hollyhock. Just Hawk.
Yeah, is Hawk okay?
I think Hawk's okay.
Hawk. Okay.
But not Holly.
Not
Holly. Hollyhock or Hawk.
Okay.
But if you just call her Holly, she's going to...
She's going to do a murder.
Potentially.
She's going to borrow that switch and...
Even though a sale is her lowest stat.
I have a quick player request.
Uh-huh.
Can we put pronouns on the card so that we can make sure we're addressing the characters correctly?
Absolutely.
Good.
Thank you.
Good point.
Wunther. I hate Wunther already.
I love you.
Aww.
Daddy.
So for the benefit of the audience, we should probably say the pronouns as well. Yes.
All right, let's just go around one more time. Steve?
Well, so we're also going to have to introduce their holiday memories.
That's fair. Here. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then we'll go around after we have that. Let's talk about what you're doing on this planet in some kind of... are you alone or are you surrounded by other people? Are you part of a colony? Are you here to do a job?
Do we all know each other or are we coming into this adventure strangers?
Oh, I think we all know each other.
Okay.
I think we've always, since we already determined Miss Annis is a school
like
marm.
Like the spice.
Yes.
That Miss Annis is a school marm, then clearly at least there's a colony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that.
At the very least.
There's some sort of civilization in this village.
I think we're religious pilgrims. I think this planet is our promised land.
I like that.
So, like, we came here across the stars in, like, something that I'm sure started in the 1970s on Earth as a doomsday cult and has sort of evolved with space travel to be like, well, now we're actually going to visit that star that we used to worship. And that star is orbited by this desert planet, which has got just very harsh conditions.
Do we want to establish if it's a hot desert or a cold desert?
Well, Mel was pretty insistent that it's a hot desert.
It can be whatever you want it to be.
I think it's a hot desert.
It's a hot desert. Okay.
We're close to a star. It's a hot
desert. So it's a hot desert.
Mm-hmm. It's a hot, sexy desert.
So is this...
But we're at a religious pilgrimage.
We are religious pilgrims.
We are religious pilgrims.
So you're here. You're on the planet that you were destined to be on. Is it everything you wanted it to be? Or are people upset or not thrilled with where they are?
Well, it's really hard to live here. Yeah. So I feel like Hawk has spent her life just trying to provide for the village. So she's very tough. And like that's where this like shape has come from. And so we've had to play to all our strengths to survive. And have we actually found enlightenment in this process, or are we just stuck here now?
Mm. Yeah, Grunther was born here. He's known no other life. So, you know, the harsh conditions of the desert, having to go out and squeeze sap out of the sentient super cactuses
famously
on the planet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just to drink is like a normal part of his life.
Mm-hmm. And every time you poke those cactuses and they go, ah, my life force.
Yeah, they.
You just have to deal with it.
They're psychic, so they do read your minds and they speak in a language that you can understand to try as a self-defense mechanism to try and prevent you from squeezing their sap. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, you will thirst to death.
Yes.
Do they move or are they just like stuck in the ground, look like normal cactuses, except they're psychic and they talk?
I would like if they like shimmy slightly.
They can shimmy.
Yeah.
They shimmy.
It's like, yeah.
Okay.
Just enough to make it awkward.
So somewhere between like a real cactus and something that Nintendo made up.
Yeah.
Very Nintendo cactus.
Oh, but I should have mentioned this earlier. But these cactuses, also the only way they can reproduce is by getting people with their spines, and then the cactus will grow inside that person. Mm-hmm. So
it's very dangerous.
A lot of these sentient super cactuses look like early explorers because they literally grew out of them. So like normally the psychic thing is just tries to lure you in. But because we've gotten so good at farming them now, they also beg for mercy.
Mm-hmm. So it's a parasite.
I mean, it's not necessarily a parasite because it just needs that in order to germinate, like germinate its does seed
it,
or whatever.
Does it kill the person or does it exit the person? Okay. So the person. So you're saying that all of these cactuses are former settlers.
Well, some of them. Because there are also animals on this planet.
No,
and
of course.
That's how it started
but like,
to reproduce. But
probably a majority of the cactuses around this current village that you're in
definitely
are probably former settlers that
cannibals.
Can talk to you.
In the shape
so you're stabbing
of former
people.
Settlers. They don't look like people. They look like people-shaped cactus.
You're stabbing cactuses
friends?
That used to be people
they did
to milk
to be
them
people.
Of their...
Their
Our
delicious
life
giving sap.
I don't even drink my mom.
Were they settlers or just warning signs?
Why are you making this so dark?
That's it's a harsh planet, baby. There are sentient super cactuses.
That are our friends.
That used to be some people that some people knew. Sure.
But so the part I'm stuck on is we're farming them.
We have to. There's nothing else here.
So
nothing else will grow.
This planet sucks.
So how do we sustainably create more? Is there like a ritual that we've created where we sacrifice people to become cactuses for the greater good of the colony?
I think these cactuses can grow to be fairly large, but also
run,
yes.
Mel, run.
If we're religious pilgrims, it would fit with our mythology that in this condition we have to sacrifice.
Yeah, of course. You gotta sacrifice people to it.
Maybe like once a season we have to sacrifice
that's like the
someone
holidays,
to become
like
that's
the,
our holiday.
That's our holiday.
The great cactusing. Cactusing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll workshop the name.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what we decided, that we were going to workshop the name.
For a group of people that have traveled far, far away and are trying to propagate a new planet, you're going to give up one person every season from your tiny village?
Yeah, we're in a cult, hun. This is a cult.
It started out as a doomsday cult.
I was willing to give that aspect. We are a cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least started as a cult.
Yeah, we started as a cult, and now we just sacrifice people to sentient super cactus patches in order to keep our civilization going. So I don't know what other word you want to use for that, but cult seems right to me.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel so warm and fuzzy right now.
I feel a little prickly.
I feel like these people could use some of the joy of Christmas.
Yes.
Some might believe that.
Great. So we know how you survive. Mm-hmm. How big is this colony? Is this like a tent city, or have you used dried up, murdered cactuses to build houses, or are there other materials? What kind of is this a shanty town, or does it look kind of nice because you've been here a while?
I feel like because we would have had to have traveled here and it's the year 3000, mm-hmm. I feel like there had to be a colony ship of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's probably pretty sizable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a large...
thousands of years to build your cult, you know.
Maybe like the ship is like the town hall and then like a little city is like sprouted up outside of it.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. There's like a bunch of cactus buildings surrounding it.
Because the cacti when we got here were massive because no one had been farming them. So some people actually live inside the dried husks of these giant cacti. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we have a teacher.
Yes.
We have a survivalist and sort of a farmer, sort of. What does Grunther and Wunther do?
Grunther is a student. Grunther is probably, I think, in their late teens. Like I said, they've grown up on this planet. This planet is all they know.
What's the year difference between us?
You know, that can be as wide as you want.
All right. Let's make it like I'm 5 or 10 years older than you.
Great.
And you're a student. Like, are we talking high school, college, like equivalent?
I think going out of high school into college, though there's no college.
Yeah, here. Do we have colleges?
There is a college, but I'm not going.
There's only one college.
It's just me. It's all just me. I just teach all of it. It's the same schoolhouse.
Miss Ennis, yeah. Who is actually brilliant.
Yeah.
A walking, talking supercomputer.
So maybe you're going into an internship to learn some finer crafting, or do you do anything with your hands, maybe?
Yes. I am a husk whittler. That's like one of the major professions on this planet where once a sentient super cactus has died, it takes very skilled people to whittle its corpse away into usable materials. Because if you get poked by one of those pokers, that's it.
Do you ever find human organs inside of it? Or is
No, it's oh, okay. long.
Okay. Long it's, gone? Okay.
Yeah, the people die and then the seed germinates and the cactus grows.
Great.
So Wunther works in the same industry, but he is actually a foreman. He has been doing this a while. It's questionable. How long ago did we touch down this planet? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline of this.
Let's say between 45 and 50 years ago.
Okay, that was born here too, but like I've just kind of definitely accepted like this is my course of life. This is what I'm going to do. And I've always been really friendly, so everyone's more than willing to listen to me when I tell them how and when they should do their job, because I'm you know, kind of a nice guy as a foreman. And I've not been stuck by one of the cacti yet, so clearly I must know what I'm doing.
Great. Wonderful. Other than your cult weird shit holiday, what is your fondest? I guess that is your holiday. Yeah. Are there any other holidays on this?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because my fondest holiday memory
Run,
is...
Mel.
On a wolf newt, I was gifted a pup by the mother she-wolf. What? So this is kind of a... This cult I picture is kind of a cult that sort of sprung up around that Facebook post.
Wait.
On the wolf newt Facebook post.
No, I get that. Is this a wolf newt-based cult?
I feel like it might have started as like a Facebook group of people who are like, hey, let's totally do Wolf Newt together. And over the 1,000 years or so, It kind of got out of hand.
What is this
spiraled
word you keep
into
saying?
A death cult?
Wolfnute?
You don't know so, of Wolfnute?
For people who don't know,
let's explain.
There
Wolfnute.
Was a 7-year-old who was very excited about the prospect of a wolf-based holiday and uh-huh. told his mom about it, and she made a Facebook post about it because she thought it was very cute. Yeah. And then some millennials were like, let's actually celebrate this holiday. And what I'm saying is that leads us to a desert planet in the future where we have to fight sentient super cactuses.
And where? What do we celebrate doing Wolfnute but celebrate wolves and their canine families?
Yeah.
So there's no newts. Like
no.
Frogs.
No. It was a word made up by a 7-year-old.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha,
Wolfnute.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood.
Wolfnute.
Okay, so there's wolves on this planet too.
Yes.
Like wolves that you specifically introduced and brought here and like
yes.
dogs.
There are dogs and also wild wolves.
Great.
But the wild wolves are kind of like salamander wolves.
Oh.
Like to adapt to the desert climate.
So we brought regular wolves 50 years ago, and they interbred with the salamanders mm-hmm. that exist on this planet, and they're now the
that's the
apex predator.
So now they're murdered salamanders.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That wag their tails.
Mm-hmm. That wag their tails. They're also dogs.
They're,
dogs have also interbred.
They're quite
surprisingly
majestic.
Cute yeah. and majestic. Very endearing.
I'm writing down murder salamanders. Mm-hmm. So get
murder manders.
So I've got a holiday that isn't as murder inspired. I feel.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is a desert planet, so occasionally there's probably rain. So I feel like the one rain that happens a year, like the major monsoon. I grew up in the Southwest, and so like there's what we call monsoon season, which is gigantic storms. So I feel that once a year when the gigantic storms come through, it's celebrated because, oh God, we get water that isn't from the cacti. And it feeds cacti later. So I feel like that would be a major occasion.
Mm, what do you do to celebrate that? Do you
bring out the basins?
I assume that you bring out everything to gather the water, but because of how violent those rains could be, maybe you all gather onto the mothership and have a party while you wait out the
yeah.
rain.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
It's the most stable place we can be
right
during the inclement weather.
And like, God forbid everything gets bad, you can just lift off and wait for it to die down and then go back.
I don't think that ship works anymore.
Oh, I think
it's might. Dead.
I think
maybe it's solar powered.
Well, our cult leader has assured us that ship does not work anymore.
And we believe everything the cult leader
says.
Well,
I imagine also the dried out husks that were the cacti structures were meant to survive this water.
These
rains. So anyone who has one of those structures, they're fine. They just don't go outside.
It just might get a little flooded,
yeah.
depending on their elevation level.
What should we call that holiday?
I just wrote down monsoon season.
Okay.
Do you want to call it anything
else? I'm looking at Jules and not James.
What should we call the rain?
Or the holiday, the festivities around the rains.
The drowning.
The drowning.
The drowning.
Melody.
And we'll workshop that name.
Yeah. The drowning. Well, we'll fix it in post.
This is what Miss Annis teaches all the students. Ah, yes. It's time for the drowning.
The drowning.
Children, why are you crying?
Well, I also have a fond holiday memory.
Oh, please. Good.
So for these festivities, Hollyhock has always tried to bring as much food as she possibly can from the world outside the colony. And there was one specific, I think it was for a drowning, because we were all in the ship, where she took down the biggest werepig that she had ever seen. Unfortunately, it was her aunt.
Oh.
But,
I hate when that happens.
You know, when you're dealing with werepigs, what can you do? So,
how was it your aunt? So, where?
Well, when our uncle fell in love.
A person that turns into a pig?
Yep.
Okay.
So, that's a thing.
So, that's
so,
a thing.
Okay. We also brought pigs to the planet.
Great.
And over the course of 50 years, we got genetically spliced with those pigs because pigs were surviving in the desert a lot better than we were.
It's true.
They love it.
So,
Really more like javelina more than anything else.
Some people have got genetic treatments where they're, yeah, they're a little bit javelina. There's a little bit of javelina in that blood.
We're a very cannibalistic society at the end
so
of the
you,
day.
So you murdered your aunt and brought just a big spicy pig meal.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, because the pig brain fights the human brain.
Mm.
And if it wins, mm-hmm. they become a danger to society.
Great.
But
so you have
if
to
you
put it
defeat
down.
Them in combat, you get to feast upon them. Because you don't, the meat is not very common. Mm-mm. We mostly save that for the wolves.
Okay. Jules, what is Miss Annis's fondest holiday memory?
Well, Miss Annis is very devoted to the cult. She always has been. Mm-hmm. I think she was actually part of the original settling crew. She's ancient.
Mm.
And I think her favorite holiday memory was the a few festivals of the Wolf Stars ago when her own husband was picked for the cactusening. For the great honor of giving his life material back to the cult and to the colony. She's very proud of him for his sacrifice.
So
now she gets to enjoy the peace and quiet of her home all by herself.
Do you think she visits him sometimes? Because he's out there shuffling around. Oh.
The first to drink. Yeah.
Okay.
And the cactus does speak to her in his voice.
So in a way, their love continues.
That's actually
just
very sweet.
At a distance.
Do you still drink from him?
Do you think?
Oh yeah.
Do you think he shuffles up and just kind of settles in the yard next to her cactus house sometimes? And
yeah, yeah,
just
sometimes.
Hangs
but
out?
She uses her branch and like shoos him away because.
Oh, she's like, no, I need privacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Buzz off.
Yeah.
The switch.
You made your sacrifice. I've also moved on.
Yeah, yeah. She's moving on.
She's a single woman now. Like great. You can't.
Some say
can't
her and the cult leader may it. Have a thing, but that's all hearsay and gossip, and
perfect.
She has no time for it.
All right.
Too busy marming.
Too busy marming.
Ho, 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 heroes. And welcome to the One-Shot Midroll. I hope you're enjoying this Buck Wild game, and I hope it inspires you to go out and play Hark It's Santa and Fuck It's Dracula, which are two games that can get completely out of hand. Before we get back to the episode, we've got some radvertisements to share with y'all. Our first comes from Clint Okerstrom, going out to his friends, the Garbage Squadron. That's Pranks, Abby, Miri, and Abby. Happy holidays to the best wingmates in the galaxy. Clear skies. And I'd just like to give a personal thank you to the Garbage Squadron for protecting us from Imperial scum and wallowing in the trash of the Star Wars universe so we don't have to. Happy holidays, y'all. Our next advertisement is a professional message coming from Nicholas Gamache, and he wants me to tell y'all about We're Dying! Not really. Listen to We're Dying! Not really. At MementoMoriCinema.com or on Stitcher. Confronted with their own mortality, two stalwart friends embark on an introspective journey of self-improvement. Actually, on second thought, that sounds hard. They're going to watch movies instead. Join these two middle-aged college drinking buddies on a cinematic journey through their childhoods and beyond as they examine the films that made them who they are, while also remaining open to new movies that they just haven't gotten around to watching. Well, that sounds like a delightful addition to the movie podcasting genre. A huge thanks to the folks over at We're Dying, not really, for producing their show, and a big thanks to Nicholas for buying them a radvertisement on OneShot. If you want to help support them for their support of us, you can head to MementoMoriCinema.com or look them up on Stitcher to find out more. Heroes, remember, if you'd like to put a personal or professional message in an episode of OneShot, all you have to do is head to OneShotPodcast.com, click on the Contact Us section, and then Radvertisements. Booking is easy, and you can even pick the date that you want them to air. And if there might be a problem with airing or recording them, I will personally call you to let you know. For example, someone decides they want to post one shot a couple hours later than they normally do, or they contemplate maybe throwing up a bloopers episode instead. That's something the folks who purchased advertisements this week definitely found out. Before we get back to the episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to thank some of our backers on Patreon. Adam Kennedy. Thank you. Amelia Cates, thank you so much. Christopher Tate, thank you very much. Pigtailed Goddess, thank you. Soup Kitten, thank you very much. Jess Vetter, thank you. Kristen Driggers, thank you so much. John Philpott, thank you very much. Daniel Spencer, thank you. Kai Letts, thank you very much. That's either Jeanette, no, it would be Jana T. Jana T, thank you so much. Carl Engelaird, thank you. And Carrie Nerp, thank you very much. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon and everyone who's joined up during our 2018 Patreon drive. Your support makes One Shot and all the other shows that we produce here at the One Shot Network possible. And with your support, we'll be able to do even more. Like, if we manage to hit $8,500 a month, Campaign will become a weekly show again, which I honestly cannot wait for because it is killing me that y'all haven't caught up to where we're recording. But with all of that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
So it is evening, months after the drowning.
The drowning, great.
The drowning has happened this year. It's months afterwards, so there's still a little bit of drowning water left, but you know it's getting to the season where you'll have to start harvesting the cacti again. I think that the offering of someone to the cacti happens right before the drowning every year because mm-hmm. you've spent all of that time surviving. So I think that's something that's already happened.
It needs the water from the drowning to really encourage the growth of those seeds.
Exactly. And it's also to say we appreciate you sentient cactuses for providing for us up to this point, and now the drowning will happen.
Not that we've given you a choice.
True, but it's like a, hey, thanks for being a sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Thanks for not fighting us, I guess.
Thank you for your inability
to fight
back.
Here's someone to stab. Enjoy that. So it's a calm night. Everyone is comfortable because everyone has been well fed. Their thirst is sated. It's been a pleasant season. And it's about time to turn in for the night. What has everyone done today, and what do they do to wind down for the night before they tuck into bed?
So we see Grunther. Grunther is on a vista watching a sunset with his wolf pup. And it's like wrapped its prehensile tail around him in a sweet embrace. We can see Grunther is covered in a lot of like leathers. I think it protects you from the harsh rays of the sun and the whipping beats of the sandstorms that can kick up on this planet. And he's watching the sun. I say sunset. It is three suns that are setting in a trinary system. Like one is orange, one is blue, and one is a tiny, like little white one. And it fills the atmosphere of this planet up with like just a bunch of brilliant colors.
Beautiful. What's Wunther doing?
Wunther is stumbling back from, I guess, what would be equivalent to one of the local bars. After a long day's work, he went. Took the people who report to him out to the bar. They had some drinks, which is pretty typical. Fostered that. He's been fostering that relationship. Some of these folks for years now. And it is one of those where, you know, it's kind of that brotherly arm in arm with some of their coworkers while also trying to make sure that none of them are completely exposed to the element. So probably this culture has like definitely established that everyone is making sure everyone else is wearing their protective gear while also attempting to do that while multiple people are drunk. And he is attempting to make his way home.
Okay. What is Hollyhock doing?
So Hollyhock lives in an ancient cactus that over the years has progressively become buried under the sand. And she discovered it when she was out gathering materials for the colony, and she basically just hacked her way into the open dome as it was an old, dead, dried-out cactus. So she essentially lives in a little sand cave on the outskirts of the town. So when she gets ready to wrap up for the night, she settles into her little cactus sand cave and has a couple of wolf pelts on the floor for herself. And every night, she actually does something rather sweet. She has her box of matches, and she lights a little. If you carefully pluck the needles from the cacti, they actually make really nice candle wicks. Mm. So she's kept some of the fat from the werepigs that she's killed and put the little needles in the fats, which hardens into a nice candle. So she lights a little candle for each of the werepigs that were her family members that she's killed.
Oh my God.
So now she lights 5 candles a night at this point.
Some families are more susceptible to the mm-hmm. javelina DNA than others, mm-hmm. and they just become werepigs a lot more easily.
Are you a werepig?
She fears that is her destiny.
Oh. But not yet.
But not yet.
Okay. But not on this night.
Not on this night.
She's going to go from hollyhock to ham hock.
I love that.
Miss Hollyhock had a nice long night grading papers. She's going to do her nightly prayers to the wolf star and flog herself before bed. In devotion, to, of course, to their cult leader.
And she's beautiful. Using that switch, huh?
She's using that switch.
It's multifunctional.
So it's late now. Everyone is snuggled into their beds. Gunther is in his home being spooned by a puppy. It's mm-hmm. very cute. The puppy's trying to be bigger than it is, but it's not.
Not yet.
Not yet. So close, but it's ready for that life.
Before the molting.
Yeah, it's gonna molt soon.
Gunther is on top of the sheets right now, a bit sprawled out, just passed the fuck right out.
It was a good night.
It was a good night. You had a lot of fun. It was an active day. You got a lot done at work, too. So you've got the satisfaction of a good day's work
mm-hmm.
and a good drink.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. We'll see if I remember some of that drink in the morning.
Hollyhock is tucked into wolf pelts, passed out serenely on the floor with a little bit of moonlight. How many moons are there?
14.
14. The light of 14 moons shining down.
And it's one of those rare nights where all 14 moons are visible in the sky at full. The same time.
Oh, yep. No wonder you were flogging.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a very bright night.
And we can see the 5 candles kind of burning down and getting tired as the night wears on. Miss Annis is asleep in bed with some paperwork still strewn on her lap. Mm. Peaceful, though, in the knowledge that her students are doing well. In the sky, anyone awake, who is not very many people right now, would see a bright, shining light begin to enter the atmosphere of the planet. And soon, like a shooting star, it starts to move across the sky. After a moment, it's not really a smooth shoot across the sky anymore. It starts to stutter, and it almost looks like it's falling. That's probably because it is. Some clattering and noises begin to fill the air, but it's still too quiet. And as it falls and falls, a bright, bright light shoots throughout the sky, and you can hear a small explosion, kind of like a bang, almost like a cannon going off as it breaks through the final portion of the atmosphere. And some of you jump awake, some of you don't, I have a feeling.
No.
Yeah.
I definitely jump awake.
Absolutely.
So do I.
Does Miss Annis wake up, or are you used to this bullshit?
Yeah, I think she can't be bothered.
Great.
She's too tired for this.
Far too tired.
She's too busy dreaming about the cult leader.
Yeah.
Be so right.
This bright light falls through the sky, and off in the distance, you see the light kind of explode up from the ground. It takes a minute for that to happen, so the folks who do wake up, you're able to walk outside, watch the light fall, and see this explosion, and hear just a little bit the sound of the impact. You can't, it's not like a huge shockwave, but you hear an impact.
I like the idea that we're sort of up on a plateau of some kind. Mm. So like the people who do get up because they heard this commotion, like, go to sort of the edge of the plateau, and we can see where this thing is landing, where this explosion is happening. Yeah. And there's just like the shot of Grunther and of Hollyhock just sort of like overlooking the explosion. We can see that, like, what colors is the light from the explosion?
All kinds. You've got reds and blues coming off of.
So we've got this cool red blue lighting mm-hmm. on us as like we're overlooking this explosion. And Grunther, you know, has never seen anything like this before. So, like, he's sort of, like, looking to some of the older people around him for, like, cues of what to feel. And, like, there are some people who look afraid. There are some people who just look curious. There are some people who look excited because they've already rationalized this thing happening. So Grunther, not knowing what to feel, dabs solemnly at this magnificent sight in front of him. Yeah.
Oh my god.
A solemn dab. Well, Hollyhock, seeing this happen, obviously jolts awake, goes to the edge of the plateau, not too far from where Grunther is. And as soon as it crash lands, she would want to immediately start heading towards it, because she would go, well, I'm the one who's going to have to check it out anyway. I might as well do it. So,
okay. Do you
that would be just,
I like the idea that you like loudly say that. Yeah. Like, and all the people around you are just like kind of bewildered. I guess I'll have to do it.
Yep.
I
no
guess
one
it's
else?
Gonna be me, as it always is.
All right. She slings her little rucksack over her shoulder and just starts just like, climbing
you
down
the
help?
You're like, no, I gotta do it.
What's Grunther's reaction to that?
So Grunther has, like, after dabbing solemnly, has run back home, and he's going to his brother to I gotta remember this name, Wunther. He's going to Wunther. Brother, wake up, brother.
What?
The Star Wolf has blessed us with something, a magnificent light.
Ow, what? My head. the Star Wolf?
The Star Wolf has blessed us.
Not the Star Salamander.
No. The Star Wolf.
Cool. Where's the blessing?
It's out away, down the vista. We're going to have to load up the sled.
I start to roll over.
No, brother. I need you to lead the sled.
Oh, fine. Can you give me some water?
Water or sap, brother?
Yes. Don't care which.
So he moves over to like the tank that they have and like puts a little bit of water and then opens like a jar in a refrigerator and just scoops out a healthy portion of sap and stirs it together and then places that in like this heating unit. Like he closes a tiny door on it and poof, it warms up and then he takes a little bit of cinnamon and puts it on top of that. Here you are, brother.
Wunther takes it and just kind of stares at it for a few moments as he processes his hangover and just kind of gingerly sips at it as he tries to wake up.
You're not sure? He might still be a little drunk.
I'll go get the wolves and put them in the harnesses, brother.
Thank you, Wunther.
Oh.
Okay. No, that's fine. We're good. I'm good.
All right. So Grunther sets outside and starts to harness up a group of slimy wolves.
Oh, yeah. They do secrete slime.
So how
did
would
we
you,
not mention that?
How Absolutely. Would you secure slime wolves to a sled?
Well, I mean, they have harnesses.
Okay. They can't just wiggle out of those?
I mean, they could, but they love to run.
Okay.
And they love the sleds.
And that's what a tight harness is for.
Yeah.
Wolf Salamander 101.
Obviously.
Yes, okay. Daddy.
So, like, they, I don't know if you've ever been around, like, sled dog huskies before, but, like, once the rigging starts, once they start getting, like, hooked up to the sled, like, they start, like, whining in anticipation. They're like, we're going to get to run soon. We're going to be able to go do this thing. This is the best. So, like, if you've ever seen a dog that's just really excited about walks, that's what these are like, except they do secrete more slimes.
So it gets slippery. Oh, but you know what? I bet that helps get the sled going.
Yep. Yes.
It's like a runway. They create like a slime runway.
That's like the skis.
Great.
Yeah.
Self-lubricating sled.
Great. All right. So while you guys are preparing, you're nursing yourself before you get in charge of this sled.
Can I interject with a quick question?
Absolutely.
What liquor were you drinking?
Whatever's distilled from sap, probably. Yeah.
So like mead? Like a la tequila of some kind?
Yeah, something like mezcal or tequila in that sense. Or it's definitely coming from the cactus. Probably mixed with something else and then fermented.
And aged with the wood of the cactus.
Obviously.
Lightly charred for barreling.
What's this liquor called?
Mel?
The Drunkening?
we're going to workshop that name.
We'll fix it in post.
Great.
Sorry, I just really wanted to know that detail.
Absolutely. Okay, so you've already got your pack and you're climbing down the plateau. There's probably a route that's been established, like, that's easy to get down the plateau. Or you just take the hard way if you're climbing.
She literally saw the fang explode, grabbed her rucksack, grabbed her little like climbing tools, and just started going down the most direct path of the plateau.
Great. Okay. So when that giant light was going through the sky, it definitely passed right over the village. Mm. There are now small pieces of debris falling on the village. And what you would recognize as a very old-timey teddy bear head smacks the roof of Miss Annis's house.
Get back in your seat! Who's there?
Now, do we recognize that as the audience or as people?
I'm
going to
say as the audience. You can decide if you.
I don't think we have these.
Recognize
toys.
It. Okay.
I think we got wooden toys made out of the cactuses, if that.
Great. Well, I mean, there's probably stuff that came with the ship, but also they're probably so broken down and.
I feel like that's a comprehend situation.
Possibly. Yeah. If you wanted to find out what it. If you, do you go outside and investigate what it is?
I will, yes.
Okay. Give me a comprehend.
Oh, it's on the thing.
You can roll again if you want.
6. If it's higher,
It's higher, she writes something on your character sheet.
Oh, it's higher.
Here, I'll write it on this note card and pass it over to you. Let me think. So you don't recognize... You good?
Okay. Yeah, no, we're just figuring out
our
lineage.
Family tree.
Perfect.
Yeah.
God. All right.
We're the best.
Something like that.
They're Grunther. You should appreciate us.
Huh?
You should appreciate us and our enthusiasm.
I'll show you appreciation.
All right.
So you don't recognize the toy that fell on your... Or the... piece of a something that fell on your house.
What is this strange thing?
I think when you pick it up in the distance, another flash kind of comes off of the crash in the distance catching your eye. So Miss Annis sees the flash in the distance. How do you interpret that?
She's gonna run outside in her pigskin bathrobe and her switch. And y'all,
we're under attack, fools! Arm yourselves! We're under attack!
I think when Miss Annis says things, people listen to
they
that.
They jump to it. For sure.
Some folks wake up. They kind of stumble out of their various homes and also see this burning in the distance and start screaming about that a star has fallen, a star has fallen. What has become of us that our gods send stars to us? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? We don't know.
It is not for us to question.
What should we do, Miss Annis?
Arm yourself. Prepare for war.
I also like the idea of some villagers coming out and seeing Miss Annis with her switch in her hand and immediately running back inside because the memories of being hit with that switch in class are too painful.
Some people run back inside. Some people stay outside in their skivvies and reach over to the side of their house and break off a rather large needle of cactus. Some people who are outside have bottles. You see them smack it on the side of their house, and now they have like a stabbing tool in their hand, and they're all just kind of standing at the ready. While Grunther and Wunther are still leashing up dogs.
I assume by now, like, I'm kind of mostly with it.
Yeah.
I've probably woken up our brother, Boonther.
Yep.
And our other sibling, Zunther.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to watch over Muther and Futher, mother and father.
And we would wake up Schwunther, but she's off with her family.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sure, famously.
So,
are any of these people coming with you?
No.
Boonther.
Boonther?
I'd say Boonther. Why not?
Okay.
The three brothers.
That's right. The three brothers have to go out and do it.
Oh, I'm probably spelling this wrong. It's spelled with a U with a umlaut, isn't it?
Yes.
Great. Perfect.
Which number brother is Boonther? Is he...
the youngest.
The youngest.
Clearly the youngest.
Yeah.
Gotcha. He's just being dragged along.
Oh, why would you... All right.
No, I think Boonther might be like your twin, but the younger of the twins.
Right, yeah.
So like 5 minutes younger.
Yes. But I'll never let him forget.
Mm-mm. And he's the one who's actually going to college, quote unquote.
Yeah, he's going to college. And I'm like, who needs college? I'm going to whittle.
All right.
So Boonther's got high dreams. Someday I'm going to be the cult leader.
So you've woken everyone up.
Dante Bayo.
Everybody's getting weapons and kind of like settling in, waiting for the shit to start. Do you guys fall into the craze as well, or are you hyper focused on getting in that sled and getting on your way?
I want to head over to that star as quickly as possible. That's what I'm fixated on.
Okay.
I'm doing the same so I can shut my brother up eventually.
Okay.
And Boonther probably is there long because his big brother has told him to do it. Well, his big brother and his twin.
All right. If Boonther's coming with, I want one of you to roll for an item that he's going to carry.
He's got a box of matches.
We have so many matches.
Can you roll again? We don't need that many matches.
He's got coal.
Great.
I would have laughed if you rolled a box of matches again.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Or a smoking pipe or a birch switch like we already have.
You load Boonther and Grunther into the sled.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking any other supplies with? Do you know how long you're going to be gone? Do you have any plans?
I mean, we can see it from our vista.
Okay.
So, like,
so not much else.
Yeah, once we get down the hill, like, it shouldn't be too long.
Okay.
I mean, probably bring some extra sap and some extra water.
Yes.
Far less water, much more sap.
Okay.
And we probably hear the hype starting to build up around town about this might be war, so...
I think you all have your own needles that you've broken off of cactuses before that you have available and carry around.
Yeah. So somebody made the point that people were breaking bottles, and it made me realize because we're on this desert planet, there's a lot of sand, like glass is mm-hmm. probably something that abundant. Is a pretty
mm-hmm.
prolific thing that we have access to. So my weapon is a club that has just been rolled around in shards of glass.
Great.
You and your novel thinking.
Are we headed down the... plateau yet, or are we allowed
that's
to...
what I was trying to get into.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So the sled like starts to head down like this big duny bank of sand that like leads us off the plateau.
I would like to give one opportunity to Miss Annis as you when you start the sled, it has to go by her house.
Mm.
What is your reaction to seeing these fools load up a sled and head towards this burning wreckage?
She'll walk over. She's changed into her war dress.
What's please war dress describe like? The war dress.
it's also pigskin leather, sort of broken off like glass shards adorned on
oh,
it.
Oh boy.
And she's tied her hair back into a very tight bun.
Is it could it be stained the war glass? Bun.
Yeah.
Is it like a colorful stained glass
I
dress?
I love stained
ooh,
glass.
Yes.
Have any of us seen Miss Annis in her war dress before?
Only on ceremonies.
Oh, then it's serious.
Yeah, it's serious.
Then I think I fully stop the sled when we see you.
Boonther, Boonther, my favorite students.
Miss Annis.
So good to see you.
Good to see you too.
You never stop by the classroom anymore.
I'm working these days.
Oh,
he's done with formal schooling.
And no one was speaking to you.
Yes, Miss Andis.
Shall we investigate this crisis?
Do you wish to come along?
Well, surely you would require my experience.
Of course.
We wouldn't dream of leaving without you.
Very well. I shall accompany you.
Boonther, make room.
Boonther probably climbs him back.
Yeah. He's standing on the runners, like, right behind
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Kind of a joint reach around, weird brotherly embrace.
Sure. We yeah. don't need to call it a reach around.
Do you want to reach around?
Who honest these salamanders?
That was me, Miss Annis.
It must be tighter, child. Tighter!
Yes, Miss Annis. Once right away.
All right. Once you've gotten the salamander's wolf things re-harnessed, you mush. You yep. head out and you take the smoother path down the side of the plateau.
As we do that, I take out my smoking pipe, which is a large, it looks like it's sort of a PVC construction. And he takes the cap off of it and places it in a holster on the side of the sled. And a plume of smoke starts like trailing out of the sled. And it is glow in the dark, like I think neon blue smoke, so that people can see the trail of where this sled is going as it makes its way down the plateau out towards the crash site.
Is that all this pipe does? Is it gives off smoke when you take the cap off?
Yeah, it gives off like a large amount of smoke.
Okay. You are down on the ground, traveling by foot, and you see, you hear it first. You hear the foot beat of these weird animals.
Well,
and
the jingling bells.
You hear the jingling bells, and you hear the little yips and growls and excitement.
And hisses, because they are part salamander.
You hear all of that shit coming towards you. What is your reaction?
Well, and I also look, and I see Miss Annis in her magnificent garment just flapping in the wind.
Oh, she's
as
most
they...
definitely like on top of yes. the sled, standing
very
there
Swinton,
with her
very,
arms. Yeah,
yes.
Movie with the polar bear.
Yes, yes. So there's a moment where Hollyhock has a slight quiver of panic in her heart, seeing Miss Annis in such glory, because she knows that if she is seen, she will be struck. However, realizing that everyone is going to the exact same place she is, and she can get there a lot faster on the sled, how do I have enough space to kind of intercept their path?
Yes, I think you have matches too, right?
I do.
I think you strike a match and hold it up in the air so that you're visible even a little bit, and I think they see you. And as you pass, as the sled begins to pass by, Woonther throws an arm out, and you just
yeah.
Connect
I wanted
arms
to run and jump
you.
On basically as yeah. they came by, if that was possible.
It's absolutely
okay.
But you're gonna have to roll a survive.
Yeah. My survive is a 6, and I rolled a 2.
There we go.
Ooh, you successfully you hop on that sled so good. Everyone's like, oh shit. Yes. They're like, oh yeah, Hollyhock's here.
Do we even realize it? Can we tell that it's Hollyhock when we're first going out there?
Probably not. It probably scares the living shit out of
all of you. I feel like I do it so stealthily and skillfully that you guys just kind of turn around and I'm there.
Well, you
like,
said
I'm
I threw out my
there.
Arm.
Well, yes. that was my initial idea, but it sounds like you just wanted to hop
I just
on.
Wanted to jump on without okay. consent.
Great. So you had no
sorry,
idea
everybody.
She was
okay, so a strange person leaps onto our sled when we're expecting war.
Yes.
So are we going to fight?
Well, it's up to you guys. What's your reaction to me just jumping on?
I think Miss Anna should be the one to recognize you first before yeah. anything happens.
I think I ready my club to just smite whoever has leaped onto our sled in a time of war.
Can I try to like comprehend to recognize her?
Yeah, let's do it.
I have many students. Mm-hmm. 2 and my comprehensive 4.
There we go.
You did it.
And I did drop out, so like, you know.
Hollyhock. Miss Annis, I know you're all going to check out the same thing that I want to check out, so I'm here to help.
Oh, how interesting. Now you want my help.
To be fair, I think y'all need my help. I'm sorry I said anything.
Who is this stranger, Miss Annis?
This is Holly. She decided that she didn't need education, similar to you. I believe you two would get along very nicely.
As we're riding, I'm like, oh, you don't know HH?
No, I don't, brother.
When did you develop a, just like a weird German
accent? Always had it.
Yo, Luther, how's that drunkening treating you after last night?
I mean, I'm here.
I had to leave early to get some actual sleep.
I mean, I was getting some sleep. But Grunther woke me up because the wolf star is blessing.
The wolf star has blessed us, or it's a war.
Well, let's go find out, now that we've established that I'm here.
Or the wolf star has blessed us with a war.
Ow, my head.
All right, so I think that the sleigh is making its way across the land. There is a small rock formation blocking you from precisely where the object has hit the earth. So you're going to ride up to that point. But because it is very dark out and you are driving a sleigh of dogs, I'm going to need you to roll survive to make sure you don't hit anything along the way.
I'm the one who's leading this thing. So. Oh, that's failure.
Oh, all right. All right.
You can add straight to my sheet. I'm real close to you.
Riding through the hills, you hear arise such a clatter. It's the noise of toys breaking. As you pull up to the rocky outcrop, everyone loads off of the sleigh and starts to climb the rocks up to look at what has fallen from the sky. Down below, you see a plume of smoke rising from what you can only describe as a larger version of the sleigh you rode here on. Except it's not made of anything you've ever seen before.
Brother, it looks like a sleigh, but there is no cactus wood, and there is no leather made from a werepig.
The oddest thing you see is that leashed to the front of it are a group of collapsed toys, in the shape of what you can only assume are weird, tall, long-leg wolves with
Look
weird...
at the strange wolves with antlers. Why does this one have a nose that is so bright?
The nose on the front animal is flickering.
My gods. It couldn't be.
What is it, Miss Annis?
Never mind. Investigate the sleigh.
At once.
Hollyhock already has leapt into the sleigh to see if there's anything in the sleigh. Wordlessly. She just does it.
The sleigh isn't quite the same as the one you rode here on. The top of it has a bubble over it. It's almost more like the ship you got here on. There's a part of your ship that was used for growing food, and it had a dome over it. And that's probably the only part of the ship that actually had a dome. But this sleigh is made of an extremely hard material, and it has a small dome on it that's been cracked and on one side broken out.
All right, well, it seems like there's a little opening over here, so I'm just gonna jump right in and... Hello? Anyone alive?
It's dark and quiet.
Hello?
I light a match to see if there's anything.
Inside, you see a lot of controls. The inside of the glass has been singed a little bit. It's looked a lot better. There is blood on the seat and the floor of this pod. And if you had to hazard a guess, there was a struggle.
Is there a trail of blood leading back out of the...
There is a trail and footprints.
I found some footprints. Who wants to come with me?
I will investigate. It is my duty as an elder.
As you circle the sleigh and follow the footprints, you see them initially lead up to the harnessing of the sled, and it looks like one of the wolf antler beings are missing. And that's where the footprints end.
What are we doing during this?
I think I'm pretty afraid right now. So I'm probably just staying back and like letting some of the older people take care of things, like just watching in awe, dabbing to calm myself.
As usual.
I like that dabbing is like your coping strategy.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Sure. You and Boonther together are like...
We're just on and off dabbing a little bit.
When I see that there's a creature missing and the footprints end, I look up and around and see if there's anything that I can see.
There's not really anything you can see right now. In the cockpit of the sleigh, there are some electronics kind of sparking. Some things still have lights on, so it's obviously not a completely broken sleigh, but it's definitely not... It's not going to fly anytime soon.
So the creatures, are they... Did you say they were toys, or they are...
They look like actual toys. Creatures? It's like they're collapsed. It's like someone pulled and let go of strings on a puppet, and they've collapsed onto the ground.
Are they biological creatures, I think, is the question. Yeah.
I want one of you to roll a comprehend on what you can tell about those creatures.
Definitely not me.
I mean, I'm looking right at them, so...
Yeah, it makes sense. Oh.
I succeed.
Ooh. I think that Hollyhock dropped out of school because you found more knowledge that you were interested in on the computers in the ship. So that makes sense. You know a lot more about old world stuff. You're actually kind of a history buff. Mm-hmm. You really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. So right now, just by examining these creatures and like touching and like examining what they're made of, you can tell that they are made partially of wood. Not cactus wood. This is like old world wood.
Like some of the wood that's on the ship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to reproduce here.
Correct.
Wunther walks up to Miss Annis while we have the younger ones who are currently anxiously dabbing over on our sleigh. Mm.
Miss Annis, is everything... What do we have here? Is this still a concern of war?
Maybe not war, but we may be under attack.
From what? As I have one of the large needles in my hand that I'm, like, anxiously gripping.
There is a creature I've heard of once. A strange mythical being that could infiltrate your house at the speed of light, called Santa.
Well, heroes, that's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry. We'll be back next week with more Hark, It's Santa. Remember, if you enjoyed listening to this game, you can play this game by following a link on the One Shot website to download your own copy. A huge thanks to Mel for running it, and to Mel and Levon for hacking it for us. While you're waiting for a new episode of One Shot, you might want to check out some of the other amazing shows we have on the One Shot network. Like Campaign. Campaign is an actual play podcast exploring long-form role-playing. The current campaign, Skyjax, takes place in an original setting inspired by the music of the Decemberists, folktales, and classic adventure fiction. Join Liz Anderson, John Patrick Cohen, Tyler Davis, Johnny O'Mara, and Game Master James D'Amato as they tell a tale of daring sky pirates. Also, it's basically an elaborate retelling of Weekend at Bernie's. Just search for Campaign or James D'Amato on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and this week I'd like you to call in to stop our government shutdown. It's not worth losing vital services and endangering government employees who are not currently drawing paychecks over a racist border wall. And one of the only ways that we can get this message across is by directly calling our representatives and telling them that this is unacceptable. Now, when I call my representatives, I use a site called 5calls.org. That's the number 5calls.org. There you can find issue summaries for issues like this one, along with contact information for your representatives and a script to read while you're on the phone to make sure you get your message across.
Calling is easy, it only takes a couple of minutes, and it can make a huge difference on issues like this. Just because our representatives are on break doesn't mean they get to run away from these problems. So be sure to take some time to make a call. As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One-Shot is a production of the One-Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.